three class today. That's what we're going to have today. We're on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis 33b Maseches Sota. We're doing the next piece of the Mishnah, the Gemara, explaining about the curses when the Jewish people crossed the Jordan River in the days of Joshua, and they did the covenant, and they went up Mount Har Gerizim and Har Evil. There's going to be a massive argument between two rabbis as to exactly, believe it or not, where Har Gerizim and Har Evil were, what exactly transpired on that day, how far did the Jews travel, and it's all based on how they interpret a pasuk that's extremely difficult to understand. So let's see what the Mishnah says. Brachos uklolos, Kate said, what's the idea of the curses and the blessings? Cave and Shavisos Ayarden, when the Jewish people crossed the Jordan, etc., etc. The Mishnah already said all this. They arrived at Mount Gerizim, Mount Eval, six tribes on one mountain, six tribes on the other, the Levim on the bottom, and they turned to one mountain and gave a blessing, the other one gave a curse. That had to be in the Hebrew language. That was the main point. What has to be done in Lashon HaKodesh, and that had to be done in Lashon HaKodesh. Tell me how hot the water is, Shelly. I want to know if we got a good one. Yeah, it's good. I think you can make brew coffee in it because there's a whole thing inside there. But anyway, Tana Rabbana. Now here's the issue, guys. It's this pasuk that's creating all the problems. Okay, the rabbis teach in a brisa that there's one opinion that's going to say that Har Gerizim and Har Evel is far away from the Jordan River, and one is going to say it's close to the Jordan River. That's what we're going to find over here. Now, here's the point. Here's the pasuk that creates the problems over here. Read it in Hebrew and in English. It says, we're talking about where they have to go. Hallel, and they have to go to Har Gerizim and Har Evel. Okay, Mount Gerizim, Mount Evel. So the Torah says, Hallel Hamo. They are surely Be'ever HaYarden, on the other side of the Jordan River. Now here's the critical word, acharei derech mevo hashemesh. Now what does that mean? So the way here the English is going to say, far from the direction of the sun's coming. Now what in the world is that supposed to mean? Far in the direction of the sun's coming. Now the sun can be coming as it's rising, it can be coming as it's setting. It depending on what perspective you're looking at. Everything is relative. Everything is relative. And what does far mean? How far? Okay, that's going to be a dispute. I'm just telling you, this is the area of the dispute over here. Now, the Torah is giving you the GPS of Har Gerizim and Har Evel. So it's saying, oh, it's far. It's on the other side. We know it's not going to say it in Jordan. One. Two. Far from the direction the sun's coming. Then it says, Be'eretz HaKenani, in the land of the Kenani, Hayoshev Barov, that dwells in the plain. Plains are fat, flat lands. Okay. Mul HaGilgal, opposite Gilgal. Gilgal was a city that was near the Jordan River. But then it also says, Eitzel, near Elon Moreh. So you see how many descriptors are used. The problem's going to be, a lot of them are self-contradicting themselves. Well, again, there's modern... No, that's Shechem. Well, in the biblical. Maybe modern names, but you'll see. Okay, this is the discussion. I know, and it says it. You're going to see it in a minute, Shel. You're going to see it in the Gemara. It says Shechem. Okay, that's what it says. Elon Mamre. No, Shel, you're mixing up. Elon Mamre. You're mixing up. There's two different planes. Elon Mamre, that's by Hebron. Okay, but that's Elon Mamre. But this is Elon Moreh. It's a different Elon. Okay, so anyway, this is a problem. Now, look at this. When this verse was addressed to the Jews, they were on the east side of the Jordan. Before they crossed it, they were giving instructions. All right? Because they already gave the 2.5 tribes their land. So it says on the other side, it means that Mount Har Gerizim, Har Evel, on the west side of the Jordan. Now, here's the problem. The translation of acharei as far reflects the view that acharei connotes a considerable distance in time or space. And it's supposed to the word achar, which means a short distance. You can say achar, it's after this, or acharei, very far. So we're going to see there's a big debate over here. Anyway, this is a brisa, and now it quotes the pasuk. Now, inside the Gemara. Halohema, they are Be'ever HaYarden on the other side of the Jordan River. Now, what does that mean? This is going to, they're going to be doing clause by clause according to one rabbi, and then clause by clause for another rabbi, and they're going to conflict with each other. So first clause, so they say, what does that mean, Be'ever HaYarden? Me'ever LeYarden Vo'elech. Meaning on the other side of the Jordan and beyond.
Not right on the other side.
That's right. Meaning far behind the Jordan River. You're going well into the interior of Eretz Canaan. Okay? Now, you're going to see in a minute, he's going to say, Rabbi Yehuda's going to say, the mountains of Har Gerizim and Har Ebal are near Shechem. Shechem is into the interior. Shechem is not near the Jordan River. You have to go in quite a bit. So you're going to see this is all, so our Mishnah will fit in according to Rabbi Yehuda. Well, let's continue. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Now we continue with the next pasuk, continuing the pasuk. How are we going to explain this? He's saying it's very far. Acharei means very far away from the Jordan River. Acharei derech mevo hashemesh. Far from the direction of the sun's coming. What does that mean? The way he interprets it is, Makom Shechama Zarechas, where the sun rises, and it rises on the east. So very far away from the east side of the Jordan River. Meaning to say, far from the east bank.
Well within Canaan.
You know, and into the interior. That's what he means to say, because it's far from where the sun rises.
That way now goes this way, Shechem is.
Yep. That it is in. It's not
far.
What?
Well,
no, everything's relative, Shelley. The whole place isn't far, but relative by foot. By foot. Remember, they didn't cross. They crossed the Jordan River by foot. They went to the land of Israel by foot. Shelley, if you'd have to go by foot, they do. There's those who make the hike from the Jordan to the Mediterranean.
Sometimes walking the shoulders.
It still takes a couple days. And by the time they're finished, you ask them, was it far? It was far. So it's relative. You go on a plane, you go 1,000 miles in a couple hours, but it's all relative. Now, we have to keep going and see what the GPS signs here. Be'eretz Kenani, in the land of Canaan, it means where Canaanites live, Hayoshev Rav, that dwells in the plains. So what does he say? Elu, this is Har Gerizim v'Har Ebal. This is Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Shiyoshvim Bahem Kusim, where the Kusim lived. Remember, we keep coming back to these Kusim, had in the Rambam, and now we have it here again. Remember, the Kusim were the people who Sancher brought in to fill the land of Israel, but the lions were eating them up, so they converted to Yiddishkeit. There was a whole question about their conversion, etc., etc. I'm skipping all these notes. And these people came to Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, which is Samaria, and they become the Samaritans. The Kusim were the Samaritans. We weren't sure, were they really good converts or not, until later on in the Gemara's period, we found that they were real idol worshippers, and we finally gave them a law as a goy. Anyway, so Yehuda mentions the Kusim, not as an interpretation of the Canaanites, but to clarify the identity of the mountains to which he refers. All right, so he's telling this is where the Kusim live, and the Taka lived in the Shomron, and the Shomron was where Har Gerizim and Har Ebal is, where you can see it today. If you've gone to a trip to Israel, and you've gone to, now it's much harder because the Arabs have it, but when you used to go to Kever Yosef, they would show you, see Yosef's buried in Shechem, and Shechem is near Har Ebal and Har Gerizim, but at a distance, yes. Mul, now keep going. Mul HaGilgal, opposite Gilgal means Samach LeGilgal, near Gilgal. Okay, now, what does that mean? The connotation of Mul is that one place can be seen from the other. The verse means that Gilgal can be seen from Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. Here's the problem. This statement is problematic because Gilgal is relatively near the Jordan. So why does Yehuda, who holds that Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal are far from the Jordan, say that they are near Gilgal, when it's not near Gilgal? That's the commentaries ask this. And Rashi, indeed, in the Chumash writes that these mountains are far from Gilgal. So what's going on? So one could apparently solve this problem by asserting that Yehuda means near only in the sense that Gilgal can be seen from Har Gerizim and Ebal. But that becomes a problem. But then we would have to explain where Rabbi Yehuda uses the word near, which is misleading. Okay, so that's a whole. So there's problems with this pshat. There are difficulties here. So you have to say dochik near, meaning you could see it from. Yeah, if you stand at the top of Har Gerizim, you could see for many, many miles, and you could see Gilgal. Now it says Eitzel Elon Emera near Elon Moreh, which is Shem. He's saying this. The Torah doesn't say it here in Dvarim. It's just Elon Moreh. He's saying that is Shem. How do I know it's Shem? Because Ulahalan, this is where you were, where Avram Avinu, where it says in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, when he first goes to the land of Israel, look what it says. Vayavor Avram Ba'aretz, Avram passed through the land, Ad Mekom Shechem, until the place of Shechem, Ad Elon Merah, as far as Elon Merah. Oh, so you see that the Torah is telling you that Shechem and Elon Merah are the same thing, the plains of Morah, and Shechem is there. So that's what it says by Avram. Here, by Har Gerizim, it only says Elon Moreh. It doesn't say Shechem. We can deduce it's got to be Shechem, because that's what Elon Moreh. So Ma Elon Moreh Ha'amar Lahalan. So just as Elon Moreh, which was mentioned by Avram, it's Shechem. So Avkan, Shechem. So too, it is Shechem. Okay? So it's like Gzeirah Shava. The Gzeirah Shava teaches that just as Avram's Elon Moreh is synonymous with Shechem, so is the one mentioned here. Okay. Oh, so why didn't Gzeirah Shava? Look at the brackets. It seems that there was more than one place by the name of Elon Moreh. Hence, Gzeirah Shava is required to teach that both verses were the same one. The Elon Moreh, that's next to Shechem. All right, so that's this first opinion. This is all who? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that they went to Shechem. The mountains of Har Gerizim were near Shechem. He said it was very far away. Even though Gilgal now would be far, but it means it's opposite of it. You could see it from a distance. That's the way he learns it. So it's quite a trek. Now remember, the Jews, on the day they came into the land of Israel, there's on the day that you will cross the land of Israel, you will go to Har Gerizim and Har Eval. He didn't say a few days later. On the day you cross, what was the day in the calendar? The 10th of Nisan. The 10th of Nisan is when they crossed the Jordan River. Refresh our memories of Sefer Yoshua. Remember, many years ago. 10th of Nisan is when they crossed the Jordan River. The Gemara is going to talk about the next couple days, but the miracle of how the water split. All that stuff's going to be rehashed over here. But the point being, it says on that day, meaning in one day, you'd go from the Jordan River by foot to Shechem. That's a far trip. Many, many kilometers. It's not doable in one day.
So it's a miracle.
Yes. And that's the point. It's one of the points here. So are you subscribing that the Torah writes that that miracle had to happen? I guess so. If you're going to say that you have to get to Shechem, which is very far away, it doesn't say it explicitly yet, but that would seem to be all the opinion of who? Rabbi Yehuda. This is a point number one.
Do we know where the other Elon Moreh is? Is it closer to the Jordan?
I don't know.
Still fit?
Maybe, I don't know. Let's.
So just, are we saying it had to be a Gzeirah Shava because there's multiple Elon Moreh?
It seems, that's what the commentaries say. Because what do you need Gzeirah Shava for?
Exactly, like it says Elon Moreh, then you don't need it.
Right, so that's why it's saying there must be some other Elon Moreh, so we don't mistake in the wrong Elon Moreh. And that's what we have Gzeirah Shava for. Okay, now this is all Rabbi Yehuda. That was one way of looking at it. Now you got to put your hat on the other head and look at it a different way now. Tanya, we have another Brisa. Okay, it says like this. Now some say you should delete the word Tanya because it's just a continuation of the same Brisa. Okay, anyway, it's just the next opinion now. Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says like this. Number one, he says, "Bedavar ze in this matter, ziyafti sifrei kusim. I proved false the scrolls of the kusim. These Samaritans, by this pasuk in the Torah, I was able to prove they don't know what they're talking about." Now, what does that mean? Well, look, in their Torah scrolls. Now, the kusims had their own sefer Torahs that they wrote, and they would write their version of the five books of Moses. So they added the word Shechem. Now, in our Torah version, when you cross in, it says you go to Elon Moreh. It says Har Gerizim Har Eval. It doesn't say the word Shechem. We deduced from Gzeirah Shava it was Shechem. In their Torah, look how it reads: Eitzel Elone Moreh Shechem. They wrote the word Shechem in their Sefer Torah. We don't have it. We have Gzeirah Shava. They have Shechem. Okay, so he's saying that I caused I showed them their scrolls to be false. Okay, we will see how that is. Why? Amarti lahem, I said to them, Ziyaftem Tereskem, you falsified your scriptures. You haven't accomplished anything by falsifying your scriptures. Why? Shatem Amrim, because you have always said, Elon Moreh Ishchem. You say that Elon Moreh Ishchem. Guess what? Af Anu Modim, we also agree, Shelon Amor Ishchem. We also agree, Elon Moreh Ishchem. Anu Lamduhu B'Gzer Shava. We learned it from Gzer Shava. Now the Kusim are not going to learn any Gzer Shavas over here. They're Samaritans. They're going to say, well, we only do what's in the written text, so that kind of stuff, right? So they're going to have to, obviously, they change the written text. But anyway, we have a Gzer Shava. So Atem, you, Bamel Lematatem. You, how did you learn it? So let's see the footnote here. The Samaritans believe the validity of the written Torah, but not the accept. They don't accept the oral one. Consequently, they would reject the Gzer Shava that identifies Elom Ara mentioned here. So Gzer Shava is transmitted on through an oral tradition. What then is their basis for assuming that the Torah refers to Elom Ara Nishchem? Thus, they accomplished nothing with their change of the Torah's text insofar as it served to underscore the inadequacy of accepting the written law without its moral counterpart. In other words, what he's saying is, how would you know that this place is in Shechem? Well, the only way they agreed it's in Shechem. How do you really know it's in Shechem, guys? So how do they really know? Because the Jews said it was in Shechem. How did the Jews know? Because they have Gzeir Shava. So they didn't do that. They just went and wrote in the word Shechem in their Torah. So they said, see, I'm falsifying your scriptures. That's what he's saying. This was where do you come up to say this, right? Now let's look a little more. Look what he comments. The Meroma son explains like this. The Samaritans hold that the site chosen by God for the sacrificial service is Har Gerizim. They base this view on the verse, another somewhere else, you shall bring upon it all the offerings of Hashem your God. Rabbi Lazar objected, however, that the location of the mountain is not clear from the written Torah. It is known only through Gzeir Shavah, which is a part of the oral tradition. Therefore, Rabbi Lazar argued, since they are compelled to accept oral tradition in this respect, they must also accept oral tradition, which states that the site of the chosen of God has been identified by the prophets as Jerusalem. In other words, here was the point. The whole thing of the Samaritans, they said that Jerusalem is not the holy site. They were saying that Har Gerizim is the holy site, but they don't even know where Har Gerizim is. Right? You know it's in Shechem. You didn't want to accept, we say it's Yerushalayim. Well, no, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that Yerushalayim is the holy site. It doesn't. It's oral tradition. So they're saying what? No, the holy site, therefore say they had an opening. So the holy site is Har Gerizim and Har Evel. You should build upon this holy site. Well, how do you know where it is? So, okay, you want to say you have it's there, yeah? But where is it? Well, it's in Shechem. How do you know it's in Shechem?
The written Torah doesn't tell you.
They don't know it in the written Torah either. How do you know it? Gzeirah Shavah. So the only reason we really know that Shechem is where Shechem is for that is because of Gzeirah Shavah. And that's the same reason how we'll know Yerushalayim from oral law. So that's how I'm refuting you. You whole thing, you hold that you're in Shechem. So what did they do? They had to cheat. They wrote in the word Shechem into their written law. So he's saying, this way we prove that you're a bunch of liars. That was just a side point, just a little side point. But now let's come to the main argument here. So now that we have Rabbi Loz, which just said parenthetically, we see from the Torah refutation of the Samaritans. But now Rabbi Loz is going to argue on Rabbi Yehuda upon the real what the precise location is. Rabbi Lezer says, I'm going to learn these same psukim, but differently. Halohema b'ever yarding. Surely they're on the other side of the Jordan River. So he says the other side of the Jordan River means samach yarding, near the Jordan River. Okay? And why can't it be far away? So he says it's really close to the Jordan River. That's going to solve a lot of problems. Somewhere you don't need any miracles. They really didn't go very far. Okay? Because it was really far away on the other side. Haloksiv, it says, it says, when you cross the Jordan River, what do? You erect stones, of which I command you, on Har Evel. So what does that tell us? That the stones must be erected on Har Evel on the very day the people cross. So it has to be close enough for them to reach in one day. That's the point he's saying. Right? Because it says, again, look what it says. It says, Vahaya, but when you cross the Jordan, which means on that day that you cross the Jordan, you set up the stones and do all this thing. Now, oh, here's a little picture. So now, look, let's just get it on the right, okay. So now, wait a minute. So what are you going to tell me now? So Har Gerizim and Har Eval are near the Jordan River? Wait a minute. But we know they're not near the Jordan River. That's a problem. So now you need this footnote. There are certainly two mountains by the names of Gerizim and Eval in the vicinity of Shechem, which is relatively far from Jordan. That we know, and that's the one we know. But look at this. He's saying, Rebbe Eliezer, the following. He says, the Torah ever teaches that here, that they are near the Jordan. That's the question. It is thus evident. Now take a look at the map. You see the map over here? Now look. Look at the Jordan River. Look far, the upper left-hand side. You have Mount Eval, Shechem, and Mount Gerizim. Now that is a fact. You cannot deny there is these places which are not near the Jordan River. Okay, you'll see what's going to happen now. Now take a look also where Gilgal is and where Jericho is. Okay, and it said it was Mul Gilgal, right? You could see across from Gilgal. Well, so here's the problem. Some of the GPS coordinates put you far away. Some of the GPS coordinates put you close. So this is the problem. But he's saying they had to do it in one day to erect it. It's thus evident that the Torah does not refer to the well-known mountains near Shechem. We're not referring to those, but to a different pair of mountains that have the same names. Whoa. The Yerushalayim Talmud asserts, according to Yehuda, the people built two mounds of earth near the Jordan. They called one Gerizim and the other Eval. I don't know what
people
you said.
People built the mountains?
They pushed the sand together. I guess when you have 2 million people, it could be done a little quicker.
On the day they crossed.
Yeah. They just pushed some sand together. Remember, it's desert. Desert, you know, if you get 2 million people, maybe you could do it pretty quickly. It's easier to push sand than to traverse. So that's what he's saying over there. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, the first Rebbe holds that the tortoise does refer to the Mount Gerizim and Mount Eval near Shechem. Although these mountains are considerable distance from where the people crossed the Jordan, they reached the mountains that same day by means of a miracle, as we're going to see in a Brisa 3 pages from now. According to Rebbe Lezer, however, this cannot be the verse's intent because the Torah does not expect us to rely on miracles to fulfill its command. That's the machlokas now. Rehuda is saying, well, the Torah assumes it's going to be a miracle. That's all. And they're going to cross and cover that one day. Rabbi Eliezer is saying, what a minute, the Torah's not going to rely on miracles, and we don't rely on miracles, and therefore say it's close to the Jordan.
You said the splitting of the Jordan was a miracle, too.
The Torah doesn't write that, though. The Torah doesn't write, I'm going to do a miracle for you.
The Torah doesn't write it either,
so why? It says you cross, no, but it's saying if you cross it and you're going to go to the mountain, the Torah is saying on the day that you cross it, you're going to build the stones at Har Gerizim and Har Eval. The Torah is saying a miracle is going to happen if you say it's far away.
Right.
Crossing the Jordan doesn't have to be the miracle. You could cross it with tugboats. You could cross it with rafts. It doesn't say how you're crossing it. Hashem decided to do you a favor, do a miracle. You didn't have to have a miracle. In other words, is the Torah writing something that the only way it could happen is with a miracle, and there's no other way to get it done with a miracle or not? So Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, Torah could write that. Well, says Torah's not going to write that. All right. If a miracle will happen, that's fine. But is that going to write that it's going to happen through a miracle? That's the machlokas.
But hang on. The Torah is saying these are the names of the two mountains you've got to go to. Right? If we build those mountains once we cross, then they can't be the mountains of Torah.
Once you build them, they are.
The Torah doesn't say build mountains when you cross.
Like, those are designated two mountains with names. They weren't in existence.
I hear your question. I hear your question. I don't have an answer to your question.
People could just be lazy. I'm not going to go all the way there. I'll just build the mountain.
Okay, Shelley, again, the problem is, what's the lesser of two evils? In other words, it's self-contradictory statements. How do you spell Mul Gilgal, right across Gilgal? Oh, well, it means from many miles away. I could see it from... Either way, that's why we're having difficulties. Every shot is going to have a problem with it.
Bigger problem to say these non-existent mountains now are the mountains God said, because now
there are real mountains and they're just ignoring those ones.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with you.
You could build a hill, but
I mean, aren't they using those mountains?
Weren't such
not just this one time, but they'll continue to.
No. No, the Samaritans did, not us.
No, but I'm saying...
Well, it was a one-shot deal. That's Har Gerizim and Har Eval of only importance once.
So that's not where the young people go with the goat and all that stuff?
No. That's different. You're mixing up another story. It's near Yerushalayim.
They're not cowboys.
No. Not the cliff where they threw the thing. It's not that. No. It's only a one shot that only has one day of significance in Jewish history, Har Gerizim Rav. Aside from the fact that the Samaritans decided to make it its holy place, but that's not the Torah. Well, he's not finished.
He's still a little up there, right?
Yeah. Rabbi Lazar is not done. He has to explain the rest of the psukim now. It says, Acharei Mavoa Hashemesh. What does it mean? From the direction of the sun's coming? You're not going to like this at all. It says far, far from the direction of the sun's coming. The first rabbi said, far from the sun rising, and therefore we're into the interior. He's going to say, far from the direction of the sun's coming. What does he say? Makom Shachama Shokas. Far from where the sun sets, which is in the west. So it's far from the west, it's closer to the east, which means more, even though it's the west bank, but it's on the east, more east of Israel, the eastern part of the Holy Land, as opposed to the western side. Now, how do we know this? Because there's also a pasuk that would suggest this. Because look what it says. When Yaakov Avinu, he left home. Vayeshi, Parsha Yeshi, so he had to sleep that night. Why? Look what it says on the footnote. Ki ba hashemesh. Because the sun, see, ba says, and here it means that, surely means has set. He had to sleep early because the sun, same though says the word ba, came. Indeed, some Rishonim hold that wherever scripture says ba, come, together with sun, it signifies the setting of the sun, not... Because you're looking at English. English is a very bad language in terms of explaining Torah. So therefore, you said, well, it means come. It depends. If it's the sun, yeah, the sun's coming down. Right? You using your English words, going down. It's coming down because it's coming. It's like, think about it. Really think about it. What does come mean? It's coming somewhere. It's coming to planet Earth. When it sets, visually, it's coming to Earth. Right? So that's the whole point. So he's learning like that. So that's how he learns it. Okay, now, we have a few more verses. Now, comes along. So obviously, Rabbi Lazar is challenging Rabbi Yehuda's opinion about where this all took place. So these mountains are near Shechem. And now he's going to ask a question, because let's continue with the verses. So the bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda says that these mountains are near Shechem. Rabbi Lezer says, no, we're not talking about being near Shechem at all. We have to be near the Jordan River, and they piled up their own mounds, and it was not near Shechem. Now, here's one of the next contentious clauses. It says, another descriptor on the GPS is, Be'eretz Canaan, in the land of the Canaanites. Okay? Now, if you want to say that where you say it is, in Shomron, that's not where the Canaanites live, but rather it's Eretz Chivi, it's the lands of the Chivites, because that's where Shechem is located. Right? So that's going to be a problem. In other words, so he's saying, this part of Rebbe Lezer is saying it's not intended as a refutation of Yehuda, that's okay. The fact that Torah refers to Shechem, home of the Chivite, as the land of Canaan, is not a problem. That's not the problem yet, because Chivites are part of the overall Canaanites. That's not the problem yet. The Torah often used the name Canaan to denote any of the seven nations, would include the Chivites, the Carolina Kamen. Okay. And we know that Shechem was in Chivite territory. You see, in Bereshit, it talks all about that. According to Rabbi Lazar, who maintains that Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal in the Jordan, they were in actual Canaanite territory. Okay, in other words, Canaanite is one of the seven itself. So there's a place where Canaanites live, a place where Chivites live. But Chivites are also under the umbrella of Canaanites. But that's not the problem yet. So you say, okay, you want to say it's Eretz Achivi. Okay, according to you, it's Eretz Achivi. It's still not a knockout punch, because Chivi are part of the Canaanites. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's real Canaanites. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Chivites who are Canaanites. But here's the problem. Hayoshev Barava, that dwell in the plains? What's a plain? Lots of flat lands. Shechem is not at flat lands. That's the whole point. It's Har Gerizim Har Ebal. It's not flat lands. V'halo bein harim u'gvolos en yoshim. The Chivites dwell amongst the mountains and the hills. Right? How can the verse describe the Shechem as a plain when it's located in Chivite territory, which is mountainous? So Rebbe Lazar, though, says it's Mount Gerizim Har Ebal near the Jordan. And what do you know about near the Jordan? That is plains. The plains of Jordan. So what are they? They just pushed up some sand.
The plains we just called them. What would they call them?
It's the plains of Jordan.
Right.
That's a very lush area. Okay? So that's a problem. Now, what else? Mul HaGilgal. Furthermore, it says Mul HaGilgal, opposite Gilgal. Follow Lo Roas Gilgal, but they did not see Gilgal. Right? If Mount Gerizim and Arva near Shechem, as Rabbi Yehuda maintains, one would not be able to say Gilgal from them because Gilgal is far from that area. How can they say it's the opposite Gilgal? Creator of Lesser himself is not difficult because in his opinion, Mount Gerizim and Arva are indeed in the vicinity of Gilgal because it was near Gilgal, near the Jordan River, and they went and made their own little mountains. Okay, so that's his questions on him. All right, so there's the two opinions, and that's the two ways of looking at it. Was it a miraculous thing that happened? Was it a non-miraculous thing? Was it near there? Was it near there? We all agree the event took place, no question about it. And there were mountains. Question is, were they man-made mountains? Were they natural mountains? Was there a miracle? Was it not a miracle? That is the machlokes. And we're going to stop it over here.
It'd be a lot easier if the text just said, you